Rusty Quill presents.
Life is full of awesome what ifs, and some not so much, like unexpected medical costs. That's why United Healthcare provides Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans to supplement your primary plan and help manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince, they exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Previously on Planet Arcana.
Attending a VIP-filled CGA soiree, the crew attempts to schmooze their way into information. As expected, Celestine is quickly cornered by Uncle Edict, who relays that the location Celestine saw in his first recovered memory matches the description of a former creation point in the Crownlands, one believed to be cursed. On the topic of unregistered androids, Edict advises that off-the-grid makers tend to seek sanctuary in the good unwild. The tone of the conversation turns, however, when Celestine drops the friendly facade and grills Edict about his involvement in the distribution of rat at creation points and his cryptic plans for the year's end. In the end, Celestine gains little knowledge of Edict's plans, and the two part acrimoniously. Meanwhile, Crater Wayne, in the guise of Knight E4, continues to rub elbows with Bon Bon and Patricia, having gained some leads on the lake house that Lux Booker is so curious about. With her companions occupied, Riot convinces Cake Impartial to stand up to her husband Beefs, and as Cake excuses herself to do just that, Riot is approached by a staff member claiming to be an aspiring influencer, looking for a private word and some career advice. Once alone, the Devil Arcana reveals itself through the body of the staff member and offers a diabolical deal. Riot's fealty to the Devil in exchange for Lux Booker's true name to be given at the right time to someone Riot trusts. A deal too good to pass up. Riot accepts the Devil's bargain and chooses Celestine to receive Lux's true name. Elsewhere, after some quiet but intense words with Cake, Beefs is seen to leave the party early. When our crew finally departs Kaleidoscope with the rest of the guests, their new companion, Bark Rufton, seems to hear something and bolts through the crowd. The three fools follow Bark into a cave system that runs behind Paragarden's waterfall, where they find Beefs Impartial, awaiting their arrival with a dog whistle in his hand and vengeance in his heart. The livid lawman initiates a fight, A fight that ends as quickly as it began, as Riot's single gunshot results in the unintentional slaughter of Diplo Captain Beef's Impartial. But just as the crew discusses their next move, the cavern is filled with the inimitable accent of Hagatha the Hag.
I can hear you. I am listening. I can hear the cacophony
coming from all across the Fifth Kalai.
Oh, how I miss you, my dearest darling. I miss
the clockwork,
the neon,
the networks.
Oh, these metropolises, these
verdant,
desolate biomes. Oh, the fun and games we have planned.
But always with
the promise that we are on a blinding path of success.
You will be tried.
You will be
compromised. I repeat, we've been compromised. But do not despair. You will
see the world.
You will
know Planet Arcana. You will find
Arcana. All it takes is a friend.
All it takes is perseverance.
All it takes is a little sweat. All it takes is a key.
CGA is in the air. In Paragarden, anything can happen. All sorts of people are out tonight, celebrating the beginning of the biggest talent festival in the Fifth Collide. They're crawling through the streets and through parties, putting on their best schmooze, appealing to those with the power to give them something so small yet so filled with potential, a chance. The talent havers and talent getters are out in full force tonight, wrapped up in an intricate dance that will last for the next few weeks, for some, and for others, the rest of their lives. This is all to the benefit of our protagonists, of course. The dance has many steps, you see, and none of them involve checking behind the waterfall for a dead Chief Constable Sheriff. Not for now, anyway. In addition, with all the pirouetting, pushing, and pulling, these Paragarden partiers pass over all knowledge of the hag who now partakes in a prestidigitous performance of perilous for our protagonist's magic. And so, you come face to face with Hagatha, the track-suited hag from many an episode ago, and you're in her granditorium again.
Get out of my granditorium!
Shall I roll some Hagatha initiative? Hagatha 15.
Okay.
Uh-oh.
With a 15, first of all, Hagatha goes to the top of the round, and Riot's turn concluding at the end of the round, it is now Hagatha's turn.
Shit! Oh, it's Hagatha's turn now!
So the first thing that's going to happen is that you all, you forgot how awful the tracksuit is. I'm going to have all three of you make a wisdom saving throw. Oh.
Absolutely.
It can't be that bad, right?
It's that bad. Well, we'll see what the wisdom saving throw is like.
Is this magic?
Yes.
I get advantage.
That's a really hard question
magic
to answer. No, yeah, it's but like, is a tracksuit?
I'm gonna say yes.
What isn't magic?
It's a magical tracksuit.
Yeah,
yeah, because it's a hag. She is magical inherently.
It's magically horrific.
All right, I got a 25.
Okay,
I got an 18.
Okay.
I also got an 18.
Wow. Interesting. Okay, so upon reflection, it's not that bad of a tracksuit.
Like, you wouldn't wear it, probably.
Yeah, but it's not, like, ruining your day right now. Well, that having been settled, I think Hagatha is going to, like, stand high atop this pile of glimmering debris.
The caves belong to Hagatha!
And she's going to cast lightning bolt. But what this looks like is one of the fireworks that is still being set off in Paragarden proper shoots from this trajectory on top of a nearby roof and actually comes through the waterfall and into the cavern, ricocheting around and then finally like going straight forward ahead of her. She moves 5 feet forward so that both Crater and Celestine near the entrance are lined up in front of her, and she directs this firework directly in a straight line towards the both of you. I need both of you to make a dex saving throw.
Oh, so you're purposely avoiding Riot for the dex saving throw, eh?
Yeah, no kidding.
Yeah, it's on purpose.
Pardon?
10 for Celestine.
Okay.
That was cocked. I'm going to re-roll that. Fuck. That was a natural 2, so...
Wow.
Oof. So it's a 2.
Oof. Sorry. Both of you fail. So what's going to happen... Both of you are taking 21 lightning damage.
Okay.
All right, then.
I'm warning you, just wait until Hegnus and Hegnathaniel show up.
Hegnathaniel?
What are you all even doing here?
Expanding our Grandatorium territory. Also, none of your business.
Is that your turn, Hagatha?
Yes, that's my turn. Thank you.
Okay, We move down to Crater. Crater, you're up.
Just to confirm, Beefs is like 100% dead. Right.
Oh yeah.
Oh
yeah. He is cooked.
Okay. Fuck. All right. Well. Oh, that's gonna be an issue in a couple minutes. Okay. Yeah. I think I have to re-enter into a rage, so I will do that because I didn't attack on my last turn. So yeah, I'm gonna do my slinky arm ability. Do I just unload on this hag? This.
Oh, not the slinkies.
Yeah, right?
She's up in my grill now.
Yeah.
Okay, whatever. You know what? I'm angry because you sound Scottish all of a sudden, so I'm gonna take my great axe and I'm gonna come down on her twice.
Nobody sounds Scottish in my campaign.
It's my thing.
So I make these both recklessly. The first one's a nat 20.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
And actually, I'm going to make you roll a wisdom saving throw, please, real quick.
Oh, okay. Ooh, okay. 14.
That actually fails. So I think it's the first time I actually get to use this. So I'm going to use my infectious fury, and I'm going to add 2d12 psychic damage to this.
Oh, shit.
Oh,
and also, I get a brutal critical because I'm a fucking sick-ass barbarian.
Oh, yeah.
There's a chance that this is very bad.
That's 21 slashing damage and then 34 psychic damage.
What? Did you just do 55 damage?
Holy shit.
Oh my
yeah,
God.
That's it.
Oh, my accent.
So, Crater, here's the thing.
Okay.
Agatha had 52 HP.
Oh, shit.
So what continent would you like to ruin her in?
I had another attack lined up too.
No, what do you want to do?
Not my Grandatorium, not again, no.
Can I do this? Like, can I do this non-lethally?
Yeah.
I'm gonna take my great axe and I'm just gonna hit her on top of the head with like the flat side of it.
Just like, really hard.
I'm just gonna like really hard, and she like a Bugs Bunny cartoon, she like flattens into like a spring and then it's kinda like bouncing up and down, and then all of a sudden I just like give her a really menacing glare and give her the psychic damage, and she just like evaporates and just like gets fucked.
Oh my God.
Evaporates non-lethally.
Yes.
Let's say, because evaporates is a very visceral word, I would say all of the liquid gets drained out of her body and she just kind of shrivels up, but she's still alive.
Okay. Like one of those worms from The Little Mermaid, Ursula's Lair.
Yes, exactly like that. Oh my God, exactly like that.
Crater, you done scared the juice right out of her.
She's like, now I admit that in the past I've been a nasty. They were kidding when they called me a hag.
I'm deeply sorry. You kind of caught us at a weird moment, and like we needed to deal with this. So, shh, go to sleep now. Go to sleep.
What are you gonna do with my treasure?
Shh, go to sleep. I didn't know there was a treasure. Close your eyes. Go to sleep. Dream of some Scottish sheep or whatever.
Two hags dream of Scottish sheep.
All right, Hagatha, fighting to maintain consciousness, just kind of passes out, like protectively cradling this pile, and the cavern is silent for a moment.
Oh. Crater, holy fuck. What just happened?
Well, we all just one-shotted a couple of people, and... And I guess we look through her treasure now.
Yeah.
How awesome would the fight with Vlad have been?
I know, right? That would have been way better.
Beefs. Oh no.
This is.
I'm not stoked.
Going to be a complication.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
Oh, man.
I think we need to do whatever we can to... I mean, hide the body sounds so sinister, but at the very least, it would be helpful if the body was not found until we've done our business in Paragarden.
Yeah, maybe we shouldn't put it in the water either, because it'll...
No, that sounds like a bad idea.
We don't want bloated beef. That's right.
No.
Water steak.
Is there like a hole or something in the cave that we can stash them?
Yeah. Is there a cave within this cave?
Can we pile some rocks or something like that? Can we make a little cairn? Ooh.
We did describe some like antechambers and other paths.
Yeah. Like these are caverns that go into the mountain. So like you could presumably go like a decent amount into the cavern and find a little spot. Like you'd be digging for a while if you wanted to dig because it's rock. But
yeah.
Yeah.
I don't really want to get dirty doing this. So that seems like a lot of effort.
Yeah.
Yeah, let's just tuck them around a corner and pile some rocks or something.
That sounds good.
I'll pick up beefs and start walking around looking for a good place to place them down.
Make a survival check.
Nice.
Survival. Have I ever rolled a survival check before?
I have no idea.
Most people haven't.
It's a 13.
You find an okay spot. You find a spot that's like around three corners and it's really dark. So you're like, yeah, I mean, who's going to come back here? And you find some round rocks to contrast with to almost like cancel out the square body. You know what I mean?
So, okay. I'm going to ask maybe a macabre question here.
The best kind.
So Beefs is an android.
No.
Oh, he's not an android. Shit.
Is that the question?
Okay. You can cut this because it's been a while. So, sorry. And like the icon's just a slab of Kobe beef, so I don't have a visual reference of beef in front of me.
He's not an android, but he is surprisingly well marbled.
Oh, like I would be.
Okay. I'm going to do something that's a little sus, I guess, but I think this is in self-preservation.
Oh my God.
Sorry, I'm going to turn to my two party mates here. So he's like for sure dead, right?
Unfortunately,
like no coming back.
Can I make a medicine check on him?
You don't have to.
Okay.
He's so dead.
So dead.
I'll take his vitals and act like I'm, you know, like I'm doing a thing and just stand up and shake my head solemnly.
Oh my
God. Yeah, very somber.
Okay, I'm going to cut off his fingers.
Oh, what the fuck?
Oh, this is good.
This is good.
I'm going to create a little bonfire that we can burn some of the parts that we don't want found, like the fingertips.
Yep. Okay, so we're okay with the rest of the square extremely recognizable body.
Extremely notable person in Paragon. They'll be like, who is this?
I'm imagining like maybe they like find his body in a couple of weeks. You know, there's been some leaks and like maybe the square shape is a little bit more sludgy, you know.
Look, the fingers are off. It's done.
I love it. It's great.
Okay. Hey, first of all, I think we should keep one of those fingertips in case it could get us into somewhere.
Oh my gosh.
Oh, shit.
I'll toss Riot an index finger.
Wow. Thank you.
Add that to your inventory.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. One fingertip from Beefs. One beefy fingertip.
One square fingertip.
Oh, one square fingertip. The other thing is, do we have anything from either Lux or Vlad on our person?
You, Riot, would probably have anything from Lux. Like, you could justify anything in this moment.
Yeah.
I have Dolce Gabbana that I'm assuming I stole from Vlad's place.
Like, the bottle?
Yeah, that's what's in my inventory, yes.
Oh, my God.
Could we leave it with the body?
Oh, my God.
Jesus fucking Christ.
Oh, my
Holy
God.
Shit.
That's fucking incredible.
That is remarkable, Ms. Rat. That is.
As long as your fingertips are off of it.
Oh, yeah, of course. I'll clean this bottle as best as I can, and I'll give Beefs a little spritz of it, too,
yes.
So it kind of smells like it.
The assumptions that will be drawn.
Okay, I like that.
He's wearing his perfume.
This will ruin his marriage, too.
And there's like, so to be clear, we're leaving the whole bottle next to the body as though this is his calling card.
It fell out of his pocket.
Have you seen the Deeplo in this city? They're fucking idiots. They'll believe that.
That is true, Crater. You are, of course, correct.
Yeah. Perfect.
Oh my God.
Okay. The fingertip is very well hidden.
just as a okay. Not going to tell you where.
Great. I would rather not know, to be honest.
No, I know. Yeah. You don't want to know. Okay.
And I think maybe as one last kind of nice gesture, I stole a photo of cake from their place when we were there.
Oh my God.
I might just put that into like his breast pocket or something like that.
Oh, ouch.
What?
Yeah.
And what? What, Crater, may I ask, is the purpose? What is your intention behind this gesture?
I don't want this photo of cake anymore. It feels weird having it. I forgot I had it. I haven't looked in my pockets in a minute. And it didn't feel right, having murdered the man, to have a photo of his wife.
Not sentimental at all.
It's almost implicating.
A little bit.
All right. Well, that's as good a reason as any, I suppose.
Absolutely.
Feel free to just toss it on the bonfire.
I like it. I like the breast pocket.
It does give the man a bit more credit than he's due, if I'm honest.
Just think how much better cake will feel knowing that he carried her picture.
There you go.
Wow.
Well, it's been an eventful day.
Is there some concern that the other hags might return? And I mean, we're leaving this one alive, and so I suppose if the others join her, then we might be in some sort of trouble. Are the hags gonna tell about beefs?
No, I for some reason I trust the hags. Like, I should rephrase that. I don't trust the hags, but we've done some nefarious things with the hags previously. You know, remember Aqualung? Like, they didn't snitch on us for that, so.
I don't think they're going to the authorities.
Right.
I mean, they didn't snitch on you because you left them Aqualung.
That's true. We did give them what they wanted.
I didn't murder that hag, you know. I very amicably put an end to the little scuffle that we were about to have. And they are going to wake up with a little bit of a headache, but they're still going to wake up, you know. And maybe they'll appreciate that and take pity on us.
I'm for it. I mean, one dead, one living. That's exactly 50%.
Exactly. Right. Yeah. Are they asleep? Is Hagatha asleep?
Yeah, Hagatha's snoozing away.
Okay.
She's snoring a gargle of snores that sound half cockney, half kiwi, and somehow neither.
So,
might we take a quick look at whatever it was she was so intent on protecting?
Yeah, absolutely.
Sorry, just before we walk away from beefs, Riot, do you want to search his pockets, maybe?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I'll do that. I'm going to rummage around. I think he probably lets out a fart.
Oh.
at least two or three.
And a burp. I'm going to check his front pockets, maybe, and I guess his back pockets, too.
Okay, you check most of the pockets, probably all of them even.
Yeah,
find what you might expect to find, a couple crumpled up recipes for lemon steak. Who knows if he put those in there or if Cake put them in there.
Yeah.
He has some dried lemon slices, a few candies, which are red. Again, all things you would expect to find in anybody's pockets. A few candies that are red, and as you sniff one, it's not cherry, it's not strawberry, it is raw meat.
No!
You also find a bit of cash, because he is, in fact, the chief constable, commissioner, sheriff, etc.
Was.
You find on his person about 500 gold.
Sick.
Alrighty.
You also find a key card into the Diplo building with his name, with his like picture and name on it.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah. Right. So you find key card, money, a bunch of like little loose items, and nothing else that like would surprise you.
That's perfect. I'm going to give the money straight to one of you because I owe you a bunch. So I'm not going to take my cut of this.
I mean, it all goes around. It's fine.
It's all kind of communal money. We
communal money.
Have a joint bank account, basically.
Joint bank account. Awesome.
Let's hang on to that, right?
Yeah. Should we search Hagatha's treasure?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. What's the old hag got?
All right. Hagatha is sleeping, cuddling the treasure beneath her. And when you came in here before, it just kind of looked like shining, sparkly debris. But now you look at the gleaming pile before you, and within it you see gadgets and gizmos aplenty. Who's its and what's its galore? You want thingamabobs? There are 20. And even more.
Chunks of coral and musty strands of seaweed tangle the treasure together in a kelpie clump. Behold the spoils of aqua catch, pulled here from somewhere else, surfacing at the base of the waterfall and hoarded by Hagatha here in the cavern. So what you find here is you find one, the thing that she's cuddling the most is this, as you like kind of dig it out from the rest of the debris, 1 2-foot-tall octopus carving made entirely of pearl.
Wow.
It looks valuable. You also see a sort of shiny purple trident that seems to be made out of coral and it's covered in barnacles. You find ornately placed in a very nice box are 4 matching seashells. And you find what looks to be a little music box.
May I take a look at the music box there, please? I'd like to open it and listen to the song.
That's
consistent with how this campaign's been going, for sure.
This bluish-green, small but dense music box is made out of copper. You open the lid, and a little mermaid kind of pops up from the middle and spins around, but there's no song playing from it. It's so clearly a music box, but it seems like there's something that's not working about it at the moment.
I have a weird, silly idea. Can I put the music box underwater?
Yeah.
You put the music box underwater. A couple bubbles surface, and you can hear just the vaguest tune. It sounds very faint, though.
I want to get in there then. I'll get in the water and like get my ear right up next to it.
You get your ear up next to it and you can tell that it's playing music, but there's something very strange about it. It's almost like you can tell that there's a song, but you're having a hard time. Like if you tried to hum the song back, it's kind of gone. It only exists in that instant. It's not at all like, I don't want you to think that it's connected at all to like the composite couple's names. It's not like that. It's more just like there's something. It's almost like you need to put more of yourself into this music box to get more out of it, if you understand what I'm saying.
If y'all don't mind, maybe I'll spend some time with this a little later. I think I'd like to keep this just in case there's any connection to Quintessa Sombra.
Definitely.
Yeah. Yeah, I think anything from Aquacatch, we should, I don't know, have a keen eye on it, right? Because that's where the dog statue was, correct? Mm-hmm. That was in Aquacatch.
That's right.
Yeah, and when I did scry on Quintessa Sombra, it seemed like she was connected to what we assume is the great beast mm-hmm. that manifested underwater.
Mm-hmm. DMs, I'm assuming this is like salt water we're in, right? So like the water in this cavern, like they got here directly from Aquacatch, right? They could swim to where we are currently.
So a brief geography note about the Fifth Collide. Paragarden is much north of Aquacatch. And Paragarden is not on the ocean. It's actually on a lake. The lake does connect to the ocean, but lakes flow to the ocean.
Right.
Especially considering there's a big waterfall that feeds to the lake, and then the lake feeds to the ocean. Mm. So there is something. It does feel a bit strange that how this has all worked out.
Yeah, because like, how would they get here specifically? Unless they walked 100 kilometers on land, which I doubt it.
Well, I mean, how did we get from Viridesia to Midmoss? You know, I mean, if we can travel by teleportation circle, then anybody can.
There could also be like underwater tunnels, things like that.
That's what I was kind of thinking too. It's probably tunnels. I don't believe in magic.
Huh? Come again? Well, I guess all that healing I've been doing is just in my imagination.
Now, okay, there is an ethical situation that we're presented with here. Mm. It's maybe not ethical, but like, do we want to steal all this hag shit? Because like, we are kind of hoping that this person makes up and trusts us, right? Am I just overthinking this? Like, should we just rob them blind? Or
I'm of two minds for sure. I don't want this to come back and bite us in the ass. However, it feels like an opportunity to have found some cool shit.
And if it does come back to bite us in the ass, it might behoove us to take whatever weapons or special items that these people have for ourselves so that they cannot be used against us.
Yeah, that's true. You did hit her on the head with your axe.
It was very hard. I mean, yeah. I'm not entirely sure she should be sleeping right now. She definitely has a concussion.
That is actually, that myth has been busted. A lot of doctors nowadays actually encourage you sleep after getting hit on the head.
Really?
I did not know that.
I will double check that, and if I'm wrong, it comes out of the episode, but yeah, I'm pretty sure that's
in the show notes for this one that we've got like a disclaimer about don't ever take our fucking medical advice.
Yes, exactly.
It's not us, it's doctors. Doctor said that.
Nothing we say is real.
Yes. I mean, fair point. What's up with this trident?
Yeah. What's up with it?
Yeah. Is it cool?
like
aesthetically, does it fit with my vibe, or like what's the deal? Does it feel special?
It does feel special. I mean, it looks very well made. First of all, it's made completely out of coral. It's sort of a very unique purple color that you don't see that often, and the barnacles attached to it give it, you know, the bit of a like a salty dog vibe. It's very aesthetic on its own. Whether it goes with your aesthetic, it's completely up to you. It does look like a pretty well-made weapon.
Cool.
It looks so well-made, in fact, it might give you +1 to your attack and damage in a medicine.
There it is.
+1 weapon. I got a shitload of those already.
Well, I mean, if you don't want to use it, we could always, I don't know, it'd be nice for you to have something you can chuck at people.
That is true. You know what? You talked to me a day. Okay, I'll take this trident, I guess.
Fantastic.
Yeah. Anything you're eyeing here, Ryan?
That pearl octopus carving is beautiful.
I will note that it implies that there are massive tuaribus-sized clams in our world, and that is what we would like to...
Please note.
Oh. We would like to foster that. Yeah. It is a 2-foot-tall statue made entirely of a pearl.
Oh.
Ooh.
2-foot-tall.
Correct.
I don't know if that's terribly smart to bring.
Well, we can just put it in the bag, can't we? We got that nice magical bag.
We can put it in the bag holding. Yes. Let's take it and sell it.
Love it.
Unless it has any magical properties, does it?
Make an arcana check.
Okay. No, 8. I got 2.
There's a certain magic in beauty, isn't there?
besides that, it's hard to tell.
Okay. We'll get it appraised.
Perfect. And I will just say that, like, because we don't have a wizard in our party, and I also don't give a shit, you guys can, instead of a period of attunement with items, you can sit with them to kind of cast Identify, which is how we've ruled it in the past with other magical items. So if you want to take an hour and just kind of like think about these items,
yeah,
you're welcome to do that, and we can give you the full scoop.
That sounds good.
Yes, though I would prefer to spend that hour maybe not in a cave
here.
With
not
a
yep.
dead
the scene beast. Of the crime.
Yes.
Yeah. Should we go back to... Sister Mary?
If it's viable.
Oh, God damn.
Sorry, that was so cheesy.
I mean, it was a dad joke.
That's our crater.
That's been the vibe so far today. Keep it coming.
The other magical item that no one's, or maybe magical, are the 4 seashells. Who knows if they're magical?
What's up with take them?
There's 4 of them.
One for each of us
plus Barks. Ms. Rat, we were thinking the exact same thing.
Yes.
What do they do?
I shall tell you once you spend your hour with them.
Okay.
Okay.
Let's go.
And so what are we doing with Hagatha? Are we just letting her sleep it off?
I think maybe we cover her up with some kelp, just make her nice and comfy, and then we skedaddle.
Yeah, let's make sure she's okay. You know, maybe, actually, no, I'm not going to use a... healing potion. Fuck that. All right. Yeah. Make sure she's comfy. She'll wake up on her own accord.
And with a tender display of tucking Hagatha softly into her kelp bed to sleep off her concussion, you rob her blind and depart from the caverns, heading back to Sister Mary Viables, reflecting on the very violent night that you have just ended. And although Paragarden around you seems to not be ready to end their night, you make your way through the parties, fireworks, songs, revelry, all the way back down to the spray zone and back to Sister Mary Viables, back to the hermit room where you collect around your treasure to scrutinize it further.
Can I have been calling for Barks the whole way back so that we can see if we can find him again?
I don't think he left. I think he was still in the cave. He was just kind of nervous, right?
Yeah, Barks was just having like a real stressful time. And I think probably just like was in the corner. You know when like a dog's like back legs just tremble nonstop?
Oh,
I thought he bolted. I thought he bolted out of the cave the last time.
You might be right about that.
Let's just not say anything concrete. You reconnect with Barks. Yeah, you reunite with Barks before, you know, along somewhere between the cavern and... Sister Mary Viables, with his back legs trembling, but seeming quite relieved to not be embroiled.
Okay.
And you gather around your treasures.
Spoils. So, the 2-foot-tall octopus carving is not magical, but it does look quite valuable.
Hell yeah.
The trident is a +1 trident. It does 1d8 piercing damage, and it has a range of 20 feet of thrown, or 60 feet at disadvantage. The music box. So this music box made out of copper, I mentioned, it must be assigned a song before it will work. This can be done by singing the song to the open music box. Once per day, you can hum the tune to the box and cast augury in this sense. You receive an omen about the results of a specific course of action that you plan to take within the next 30 minutes, and the GMs will give you an answer through the music box.
Ooh, very cool.
Finally, the seashells are actually speak shells. They are 4 conical seashells, all slightly different flavors of opalescent. Speak shells come in groups of 4, with each smooth stone carved to match the other, so the pairing is easily recognized. While you touch one shell, you can use an action to cast the sending spell from it. The target is the bearer of the other shell. If no creature bears the other shell, you know that fact as soon as you use the shell and don't cast the spell. So basically, they're walkie-talkies.
Cool.
And we've got 2 pairs of walkie-talkies.
Correct. But these ones work as like a 4-way.
Oh, mm-hmm. Great. Okay, cool, cool. So we can all have one. And
yeah.
Yes. Awesome.
I mean, give one to JD, I guess.
Yeah.
I'll mention one more thing about them. If any of the shells are destroyed, they all become non-magical.
Oh.
Ooh,
okay. Another good person to have them might be 13.
Yep,
for sure.
But I also really like JT too.
And eventually, perhaps Teaspoon.
Yeah.
If we can get her one.
Yeah. That'd be cool.
And sorry, I don't know the sending spell off by heart. Is there a particular range or?
You have to be on the same plane of existence.
Deal.
Sick. You basically can't use them from the networks to real life.
Right. Mm. Yeah, that makes sense.
That's a restriction. Yeah.
All right. Well, how are you doing, Riot?
Honestly, I'm feeling a little embarrassed, feeling a little sheepish, maybe a little guilty.
About what?
I feel like I've complicated things like quite a bit. And I didn't love the guy, but I didn't mean to kill him.
It's not your fault. You didn't know he was like that big of a wiener.
It's true. He definitely represented himself as far less of a wiener than he turned out to be.
Yeah. I mean, I knew he was a wiener, but like, I figured he'd have that like, that like, you know, that beef strength or something.
You know, it was all gruff, no gristle.
That's, yeah. Oh, Crater, I could not have said it better myself.
Yeah. I don't know. It's what it is.
There's no taking it back now, and we'll just...
Nope.
We'll live with it, and frankly, I'm not sure I'm going to lose any sleep about it myself tonight.
Oh,
right?
No.
So
no, absolutely.
I don't think you should either.
Thank you.
Are we concerned about his family?
I was more concerned about his family while he was alive.
For real.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. You know, you two have spent a lot more time with Cake than I have, so like you would know best. I had one very strange interaction with his son while he was trying to snap photos of other people kissing.
Yeah.
So you two probably know best, so I'll follow your lead.
He could use a better role model, that kid, for sure.
Yeah.
Like, literally anybody.
Anybody.
I must say, I think I may have also made our situation a bit more complicated. Celestine takes off his hat. I must apologize to you both. I think I let my emotions get in the way of what might have been some helpful information from Edict.
What do you mean?
Yeah, what happened?
Well... All right, well, he did tell me a little about some creation point that, you know, the creation point that I saw in my first vision. He told me a little bit about where that might be, and it is, I believe he said it's been ruined. It's no longer functional. And, well, I mean, I do have a suspicion that that may be the same creation point the receiver came from, but I can't be sure.
Right.
However, I was not terribly successful in finding out what his larger plans were.
Oh, that's okay.
I'm sure he wasn't going to just offer that information to you freely.
He seemed like he was gonna. That's the thing. He seemed like he was gonna, but dang it, I just couldn't. I couldn't take it that he was, he all but confirmed that he was given the rat to the young androids, that that was on his order. And I know we knew that, but, you know, to hear him admit to it and then just act like it was fine, like it was all part of some big thing that's supposed to bring everybody closer to the Arcana, it was just wrong and it made me mad. So I pissed him off. I pissed him off, and if I had to just, he would have shared more with me if I promised to stay out of his way, but I just couldn't.
I think that's very admirable, personally. And, you know, like, we don't hate that guy. It was, a tendril that we were going to investigate, but it by no means, you know, jeopardizes our path forward. We can get more information elsewhere. I think it's pretty good that you made that connection and also, like, gave him a piece of your mind. Maybe he won't be so clingy. He's weird with you.
Well.
Did you see his outfit?
I did make fun of his hat there at the end.
It was a stupid hat.
He looked fucking awful in that. Like,
he really was not carrying it well. Well, anyway, I feel like I maybe stepped in it a bit, but...
Hey, you confirmed that he's been given out rat.
Yeah, that's huge.
Yeah. Yeah, and it is part of this, whatever he thinks is going to happen at the end of the year. And he claimed to say, he claimed that he and I were both on the same side, that we were both working toward the star's ends. But I hope that is not true, because if that's the case, then I may find myself trusting in the star a little less. If the star supports what Edict is doing, well, I cannot support that.
Well, hey, that's just, like, his opinion, man.
And, like, you two can have the same destination, but have wildly different motivations and paths to get there, right? We don't even know what exactly that is.
That is true.
Maybe we are working towards the same thing, but we obviously don't agree with how he's going about it.
Yeah.
No, we do not. All right. Well, anyway, that's my news.
So, okay, right, you asked me to find out something about a lake house?
Yes, yeah. Did you get it?
I think so. Sounds like Bon Bon is so incredibly rich that there is multiple lake houses. So it's got a couple. One was mentioned in the Phantom Isles, one in Way Away, and the other... Jesus Christ, I have a horrible memory. What was the last one?
Good on Wilds, yeah.
So the Good on Wilds, Phantom Isles, and Way Away.
Okay.
I don't know if that is helpful. I wasn't exactly clear what... what exactly that information was for.
I mean, that's an answer. That's info. That's great. Yeah.
The only piece of info you got from it, just to remind you, is that the only thing they said was that the Diplos look the other way in the Phantom Isles one. But you didn't... Right. There was no other info given about the other ones.
Right. If I were to take a stab in the dark, I think maybe the one that is being looked for is probably the one in the Phantom Isles. Just because of the whole Diplo business down there.
Yeah. Okay.
I did also... get confirmation that Bon Bon's going to be a judge at the CGAs.
Oh, okay.
I don't know why. I tried to smooth and try and... I don't know why I'm so invested in us, like, doing well in the competition, but I was trying to, like, garner some votes from Bon Bon. I don't know if it went well or not, though.
It's because you care.
You want to be a performer. You like it.
Shut up. Stop. Why are you teasing me like this?
Because, mister, I don't want to be in the CGAs. It's too scary.
My participation in the CGAs is on a fucking knife edge right now. Do not push me.
I'm sorry. I love this for you. And thank you. Okay. Thank you so much for the info. That's our boy Lux is going to love that. Gets me off the hook anyway.
Oh, and one last thing was Bon Bon wanted me to look after the kids because they're concerned about the influence of a new band member, which I presume is Vlad. So Bon Bon asked 94 specifically to keep an eye on fucking Honeypot and Babra during the CGAs.
Well.
So I guess we're the new chaperones?
Well, if they are involved with Vlad, if they were... members of that initiation ceremony, then keeping them safe may be a sailed ship.
Those two are a hot mess.
Yeah, and like I don't know, like I said yes in the moment, but like I don't know. I don't know if I care.
Yeah. we'll keep it on the back burner.
Yeah. Like, if it affects us in any way, then, like, I'll, like, step in and do something. But, like, otherwise, yeah, whatever.
So there's something else that I've been feeling some guilt about.
Okay. I'm sure it's nothing bad. Like, it's a safe space here.
Look,
tell us.
Ms. Wright, if you made out with cake, I am fine with it. I wasn't really like that. I wasn't barking up that tree. So we're all adults here, and whatever you want to do is your business.
I mean, she was barking up that tree. However, that was not, I wasn't in the mood. Or at least I wasn't until this, like, tall, dark stranger came through, and I was, like, a little, like, you know, I haven't felt that way in a little while. Anyway, he ended up being the devil.
I mean, like, the actual devil?
Yeah, like the goat, like, guy.
Oh.
Oh. No.
So we chatted.
Did you tell him to fuck off again?
Yeah.
Cool.
But.
All right.
But then. Kind of made me an offer I can't refuse, and now I'm bonded to the devil.
Oh, my stars.
I love that for you, Riot.
No, you don't.
I don't.
It's okay.
That can't be good.
I'm trying to be supportive.
Sorry.
I don't know. This is weird.
But listen. Here's the thing. I know this is so fucked up. I feel like I fucked up, but honestly, like, he offered me Lux's true name.
Oh, shit.
Wait, what?
Okay.
You have Lux's true name?
I don't. But he's going to give it. I had to give him a name to give Lux's true name to. And I gave him yours, Celestine, because I think you're going to be able to do something wild with it. And I, you know, whatever happens with me in this devil bondage business can't equate to more than the importance of having Lux's true name at this moment. Like, that's everything that I need. So,
I mean, Ms. Riot, I'm worried that you... Sure, we may have gotten us a way to defeat Lux, but are you not just swapping one collar and leash for another?
Aren't we all?
Yeah.
Celestine just takes off his hat and has a seat for a moment and think about that.
I mean, I get, like, one enemy at a time, I guess, right? Like,
yeah. Listen, I've lived through so many collaborations, let's say, with different people, and, you know, I've made it this far. Who knows? I figure try something different. If it doesn't work out, well, at least this party, this path is a little bit on the advantage, a little bit safer. So that's good enough for me.
Ms. Wright, do you have any idea what the consequences could be from being bonded to the devil? Like, what could he... It, they, make you do.
Right. I'm not so sure about that. But, you know, at least it won't be Lux doing it. And, you know, on the other hand, like, you know, maybe we give the devil a bad rap. Maybe, you know, like, maybe he's just a 50% evil kind of guy like we are. And I don't know, maybe that means a lot of power. Maybe it means something new for me. I don't know. But I promise I'll keep my head on straight. I'll update you guys if anything new happens. And yeah, I'll be open and honest through the whole transaction, I guess.
Well, all right then. And we will be here to support in any way we can. And the moment that you feel like you're in over your head with this whole thing, you let us know and we will... Well, I don't know what we'll do, but we'll figure something out.
Thank you. It's a little bit cool, right?
I mean, it's kind of metal, if I'm honest.
Running with the devil.
Lozenge came in when the devil was there, and they shoot the devil away.
Okay.
Lozenge, the, like, supremely decrepit old person.
Oh, that's
almost
Lozenge.
Falling apart. Yeah. They gave me a lozenge.
Right.
And I think we talked for a bit. And they gave me their PIP number. And then they gave me this picture. And it was an old photo. It was definitely them as a youngin. And I swear to God, they were with old fuck Swearington.
What?
Yeah.
You no, fuck off. No.
Yeah. And, like, I think that they were in love.
Wait,
And Lozen thinks that Old Fuck is dead, which I think maybe they are. But
wait, Old Fuck is real?
Yeah. Old Fuck is real.
The truth is out there.
I want to believe. Yeah, so there's that. So I'm rolling with Lozenge now, I guess.
Okay. You know, some things went right, some things went wrong. Some things went terribly wrong. But, you know, it was an eventful party for us. I think we learned quite a bit.
I think so. We're moving and shaking.
The moves are moving, and the shakes are shaking. And perhaps with all that moving and shaking, it is a little difficult to fall asleep tonight. But then you do, and you sleep hard after the night that you just experienced.
Hello, it's Jay, one of your DMs. I'm briefly interrupting the show to tell you about our Patreon, because I have to assume if you're listening to episode 40-something, you're probably enjoying the show. And if you're enjoying it, well, there's even more show to enjoy over on our Patreon. We do an entire other show called Recharge, which is our talkback show in which we discuss the episodes and tell fun stories about ourselves. It's always a good time, and I don't think I've ever left a Recharge recording without cry laughing, so that's what awaits you. Also, on our Patreon is a mail club. If you sign up, you get a monthly handwritten letter from one of us. It's nice, and we love connecting with our friends and fans that way. We unfortunately have to cap the number because there's only so many letters we can write, but keep an eye out for some openings. And, of course, if you're supporting us by listening, reviewing, telling your friends, we appreciate you so much. Every download counts for a little show like ours, and we can't thank you enough for being here. All right, that being said, back to the show.
You fall into a very, very well-needed sleep with many, many thoughts of Old Fucks and Vlads and edicts running through your brains. In the morning, I think what wakes you up, Riot, is a notification from your pip. And of course, it's audible and you have most notifications turned to silent. So you turn it on right away thinking that it's Enigmata. And it is Enigmata, who has been instructed by Lux to text you the itinerary for CGA. Mm. And within it, just a little personal note from Enigmata that she has not received her 2 tickets to CGA yet. And, you know, heart, ass emoji, reminder. And just as a brief outline of the itinerary, this afternoon, you actually all do have an event. It is known as After Two... Sorry.
Oh, shit.
Here we go, guys. Gird your fucking loins. This afternoon, you have afternoon aptitizers with aptitutors with shoulder pads.
Wow!
Which is an interview, a taped interview. So the location for that will be the Blossom, which is down by the lake, actually, somewhere that you haven't visited yet. Later this week, we've got autograph signings, we've got promo photo shoots, we have just a list of events that you could possibly go to. Many of them overlap. The instructions are to get to as many as you possibly can. Week after this week is when performances proper start. Be prepared for 3 rounds, and judging is cumulative, and you find out the results at the end of the 3rd round. And finally, at the end of next week, post-performances, the Damn Good on Wilds will be expected to attend the final ceremonies, regardless of how well you do in the competition. And so there you have your marching orders, most pressingly the aptitizers interview.
Wow.
Ms. Rat, this interview thing that we need to do, does this need to be all of us? Or, I mean, surely they just want to talk to Riot, right?
Yeah, like, it's the person at the front of the stage, you know, one of the spotlight that they need to speak with.
Nobody knows who we are. Everybody's there for Riot, and I wouldn't know what to say.
I understand. I mean, I think it would be pretty powerful to have the three of us there, but like, if you don't feel like talking, like, I'll admit I do have like the biggest press experience. It's a weird little skill set, and not everybody's comfortable with it. We could do a thing where the two of you come and we stand in a triangle, you wear sunglasses, you don't say a word, it's mysterious, it's sexy. Who are they? You know?
I can stand there and not speak. That I can do. If this is what's required of me, I'll be there.
And you can speak, but that's, you know, a happy Fuck, what's the word?
Compromise?
Compromise. Happy compromise.
How many people do you think are going to see this?
Oh, like a million. Like
dozens, probably. Oh, fuck, okay.
Celestine gets back in the bed and under the covers.
Okay. I mean, this is part of the gig, I guess.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. All right.
With that compromised, you set out to complete your obligations as CGA participants. Enigmata's itinerary leads you to the interview venue about 20, 30 minutes ahead of schedule. And though you've seen it at various times from above, this is your first time visiting Paragarden's sprawling lake up close. Families and tourists mill about a labyrinthine boardwalk leading out into the water. A promenade of floating souvenir shops, ice cream stands, and swan boat rentals. The address you seek, a location known simply as The Blossom, turns out to be a restaurant and conference center separated from the rest of the promenade through a long walkway covered by flower-drenched arbors. You are greeted at the door by a polite but brusque production assistant who hurries you inside and down a corridor. On the way, you pass this intimate tea room. It's full of fussy teacups, ornate pastel furniture, and elaborate pastries sculpted into florals, the venue of your impending interview. From within, you briefly hear the familiar voice of Shoulda Paz as she wraps up the interview preceding yours, and finally, the PA deposits you into a waiting room, explains the interview format, which will not be live, but will have a live vibe and air later tonight, and they bid you to wait. There is a door separating the waiting room from the tea room proper, and it is left a crack open so that the PA can, like, stick their head in, you know, do hand gestures to, like, the camera people and to Shoulda. Through it, you actually do manage to catch the end of the interview that's currently going on.
Well, I just have one final question for Team Sprocket. What would a win mean for you? A fuck you to the haters, and a love you to Mummy and Dadums. You know who you are.
Oh, baby, I'm just thinking about all that tail I'm gonna get.
Yes, and access to the most revered celebrities.
No.
To further our career, of course.
Oh, my God.
And with a bit of a, like, exit spiel by Shoulda, she wraps up the interview. They cut the cameras, and the PA ushers Team Sprocket into the waiting room. And the six of you now stand facing each other. The PA says 15 minutes, pointing at you, the good on Wilds, and then leaves you alone together.
Oh my God!
You look so familiar.
Do we know them?
You never remember us.
Should we?
Did we hook up?
That no, must be it.
No.
It's gotta be that.
No. I mean, we were certainly intimate.
Wait, what?
Oh, just like...
Were we?
We were, like, pretty close in a bubble there for a long fucking time. Like,
okay, good clarification. Yes. Okay. Not in a weird way.
No, not in a weird way.
I turned to Vlad.
Hello.
What up, Hulk? How you doing, buddy?
What? What up, Hulk? I do not recognize you. My name is Vlad Honorific, the newest member of Team Sprocket.
Yeah, baby, and he's doing great.
Oh, so good.
I'm gonna, like, get in between Vlad and Crater and be like, oh, so good to finally put a face to a name. I'm Riot. I've heard a lot about you. I'm really excited that you're part of this project.
Riot, wait, I do know you. You were in Aqua Catch, and now you're here for CGA, and it is so nice to meet you. And he, like, goes and very, like, very excitedly shakes your hand and kind of gets, like, right up in your face about it. And he's just like, Riot, I'm so glad we're finally meeting. Oh my goodness, you have to tell me all of the career secrets.
Oh, absolutely. Anything. You have a lot of talent. I'm really excited to talk some more as fellow artists, CGAs, you know, it's an exciting time.
I think Vlad just launches into 100 questions for you that are so mundane. Like, how much should I expect to make from this kind of thing? just the worst kind of questions to ask an artist.
Yeah. Oh, cool.
And Baber's like, Riot, now that's a familiar name. What do we know? Do we know that? I'm trying to figure this shit out, Honeypot. Can you help me out here?
Come on, man.
He's talking to us?
Yeah.
Wait. Hang on, I think I do remember you. Babra, remember that party we went to a couple...
No.
That was not me, actually, no.
Oh, come on, help me out here. I'm not trying to be rude, I just really don't remember you.
You dropped us off in Aquaketch. We were together for like 12 hours.
Uh-huh.
And then you did bring us here to this city. From Midmoss.
Look, we're always giving people rides and, you know, meeting folks. It's nothing personal.
It's our generous hearts.
That's right.
Well, obviously we made a stellar impression on you two.
They kind of just ignore you and then turn it to each other. And Honeypot just looks at Babra and is like, Babra, I'm sorry I said the thing about Mommy and Dadums. I didn't mean to... Is everything okay?
No, that's all right. It just, you know, it did make me, it just made me feel like maybe I should have said something about Patricia. You think that they'll be mad or like,
no,
be hurt?
No, they would never be mad.
Look, I don't actually care. They're not my real mom, you know?
Oh, of course. No.
Anyway, I'm not mad.
Can I sneakily just like take a selfie with those two?
Oh my God. Make a stealth check.
Yeah, absolutely.
How's a 16?
Hold on, I'm going to roll against it.
Yeah, nice. Me too.
Well, I did. You're good for Babra.
Yep, same.
Yeah, they don't notice you. They're just like, yeah, I don't know. I feel like my memory's getting kind of weird over the past few days. I'm just like mumbling as you take this selfie.
We should probably do more rat about it.
Oh, my God. When was the last time we did rat? Like last night?
I think so.
I am dying for a sticker.
That's not good.
How old are these two?
18.
Okay. All right, so that's
fine. You're good. We're good.
Crater about to confiscate their party drugs.
You already have done drugs.
Yeah. That's right.
That's very true. I think you supplied them some, so a bit late to ask the question.
Sorry, first things first, I'm going to quickly just like send off a text to both Bon Bon and Patricia, just attaching the photo and just be like, kids are all right. So send it off. And are we looking to try to party tonight? And I slowly like crack open my boiler and show a little bit of rat.
Oh, baby! Wow! Look at all that rat.
Honeypot,
sorry. I just got real excited. Honeypot, you seeing what I'm seeing?
Yes, I am seeing what you are seeing. Oh. And I'm very excited to participate in the rat doing ceremony.
Your vibe is so off for this.
What do you mean?
Crater!
Sorry, Riot. Also, that's not my name. Hello.
Oh, sorry. Can we cut that?
Yeah, no, they're not paying enough attention.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, no, you're so good.
Yeah, Vapor's like, we're going to hear some voices tonight.
All right.
Woo, let's do it.
Okay, well, okay, I can't hand it off here, obviously. There's like too many cameras and stuff. But give
okay,
me,
well, where do we meet you?
Give me your PIP number, and then I'll shoot you a text when we're done the interviews, and we can maybe meet up later, okay?
Sounds like a hot time!
I was going to say make a persuasion check, but no, I don't think you need to.
You're offering drugs. No. Yeah, it's good.
Yeah. All right. Okay. They hand over their PIP numbers.
All right. The PIP numbers are handed over just in time for a PA to come in and very hurriedly just like waving at you, gesturing, like pointing to the room like it's time to go in there. You're up.
Fuck.
So you enter the intimate little tea room. Nothing's live yet. People are like rushing around, setting up bikes, checking levels. And you see behind like the interview table, Joel DePaz, who
you note is strikingly tall for a Gears android, standing a couple of inches higher than Celestine. She wears a brown pixie-cut wig, and her gold metallic frame contrasts against a frightfully crisp crimson suit with an alarmingly pointed shoulder pads that demand a foot of clearance on either side. You realize the source of her height as she moves out from behind her broadcasting desk to greet you. Her torso, it's sitting atop a rotating clockwork cylinder. It hovers a couple of feet off the ground, and along the cylinder, there's like a constantly scrolling screen that displays the current weather, various stock prices, and the day's most tantalizing headlines.
Wow, cool.
Anything interesting in the headlines?
Ooh.
Paragarden partiers set off absurd amount of fireworks, breaking records. Yeah, there's the like of that.
Pubsurd.
Riot debuts Good on Wilds Act, etc.
Love it.
Shoulda lights up a cigarette and floats out to greet you. And she does not meet any of your eyes. She's just looking at a piece of paper and she's just like, okay, damn Good on Wilds. That's you.
Yeah, that's us. You sound so different from the TV.
Yeah, thanks. Sit down.
Okay.
And you take your seats. The really stressed out PA is just like absolutely running themselves ragged, like putting things into order around the room. Occasionally, like shoulder like snaps at something. The PA just understands and returns with another assistant who stuffs shoulder pads even further. And then we are getting ready for the countdown, and they go to 5, 4, and then just the fingers, 3.
Before
2.
It happens, I'm just going to like check in with Crater and Celestine and be like, you good? Remember? Just brood.
Celestine's got his hat tipped down, aviator sunglasses on, yes, and a piece of wheat in his mouth, and is just,
Perfect. That's perfect.
Crater is just deer in the headlights, staring directly into the camera lens.
Great. I'm going to get some sunglasses that I have on my person and put them on his eyes.
And the sunglasses go on with barely a second to spare.
Thanks for tuning back in. I'm Shoulda Paz. On the docket this afternoon, we're pleased to present an interview with a damn good... Hey, wait a second. Who the fuck is running this teleprompter? Hey, is this a circus or a fucking news feed? Okay, fucking cut, take 2.
Oh my God.
Thanks for tuning in. I'm Shoulda Paz. On the docket this afternoon, we're pleased to present an interview with a damn good on Wilds, an act featuring the ultra-talented and extra-mysterious Riot. Riot, I have always wondered when you would end up in this chair. I can't believe you're finally doing CGA. How are you feeling?
Oh, Shoulda, it's good to be here.
You know what, before we get to that, a quick news update. First, as you all know, these interviews were originally to be co-hosted with the luminous Teaspoon Aquilibret, but the poor thing has worked to the bone. We all wish her a good rest and a speedy recovery. I heard she's putting on something really special for this year's closing ceremonies. In other news, make sure to bring those umbrellas out to the events, Paragardeners. Some unusually strong underwater currents are causing the Paragarden waterfall to experience an intense backsplash. Looks like this year's CGA is going to get a little misty. And now, the damn good on Wilds. Okay, I need every single one of you to look at the camera, say your name and pronouns. You first, points to Riot.
Hi there, I'm Riot, but you know me. Pronouns, she, her.
Yeah, pretty good. Okay, you, big one.
Celestine elbows Crater.
Knight E4, he, him.
Can you take that again and maybe just like act like you want to be here?
Sure. Yeah. Yes. I am Knight E4. He, him.
Woof. Okay. That's what we got to use. All right. Great. And last one.
Steve. He, him.
Yeah. We're gonna need probably 8 more takes of that. Just try it with any amount of emotion at all.
Steve. He, him.
Okay. One more. Not so high. Like a little lower. Do you know what I mean?
Steve. He, him.
Fucking nailed it.
Wow, fantastic. I'm so excited to be here with the damn good on Wilds. Let's start with the first question. Tell me, what is the ethos of the damn good on Wilds?
To make people shit their pants at the CGAs.
Proverbially, of course.
Wow. And the other two of you, what's the ethos that's bringing you to the Damn Good on Wilds? I've never seen Riot perform with any additional members in the band or whatever act that she's doing.
Oh, these two, they are so strict about their process. They are mysterious. That's what I love about them. They don't let on to anything. They're just brilliant. You'll have to see it to believe it.
I simply can't wait. Okay, next question. How has your sound evolved over the years?
Well, this is a new iteration, but we all come from very different backgrounds, very different strengths. And I think that this is going to be the biggest thing because we are greater than the sum of our parts. And I think there's elements of tenderness, but overall, there's a charged passion behind this new project that I'm really excited to bring to the CGA stage.
Shulda takes a moment and then just kind of like snaps at the PA. Hey, okay, Riot is a godsend because otherwise this would be nothing broadcast, but is this working with just her talking or should we get the other two in on it?
Understood. So sorry, Shulda. Yeah, if we could just get the other two, just maybe just a couple of sound bites, just one or two sound bites from each. Thank you. So sorry, Shulda.
Yeah. Also, I'm on my last cigarette.
Oh my God, Shulda, we're going to take care of that right away. You will have 5 cigarettes waiting for you when this interview is over and you will have a 25-minute break. And again, I'm so sorry.
Can I like whisper in both of their ears and be like, just do a me impression?
Okay, I can do that. Can I pop a Scalifaxa?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I think you do that and Shulda turns to you specifically, Crater, and she's just like, okay, and now a question for another member of the band, Knight E4. Tell me, do you have any pre-show rituals?
That's such a great question, Shulda. Let me tell you, I have a big process where I like to stare at myself in the mirror and make sure that I know I'm the best out there. And you know, it really gets me amped up and I'm just ready to go every single show.
Fantastic advice. Wow. I love to hear it.
I squeeze Crater's arm under the table.
Holy shit. She turns to Celestine. And Steve, what is the most difficult thing about being a musician?
Don't know, ain't one.
Sorry?
Don't know, ain't one.
Shulda sucks back an entire cigarette. In one breath.
I'm gonna chime in and say, ugh, he's iconic.
Yeah, can we have a soundbite of him saying something to that effect? You can train him, right? I don't really give a shit.
Listen, I totally get what you're coming from. I feel like this is kind of his brand that he's working on, though, and I feel like it's different, it's a little weird, but I think the one quip monotone is going to be really interesting for the younger audience.
Fantastic. I didn't realize you were a broadcaster. This is great advice for me. Okay, let's take it from where we left off. All right, and final question. Do you have any advice for aspiring musicians who want to be in the CGA and want to be in your shoes?
To who?
To all of you. I'd love to hear all of your takes on it.
For me, I would say the biggest thing is to, I know it's easier said than done, but just believe in yourself because it's that drive and just keeping going that puts you on the stage and gets people to hear your name. And, you know, nobody can duplicate what you can do.
That's so true. So true, Riot. That is so insightful. I love to hear it. And how about the other two of you? Any advice?
I think the best piece of advice I was ever given was just surround yourself with people that are more talented than you.
And how about you, Steve? Any advice?
Out of the corner of my mouth, I just spit on the floor.
Fuck yeah.
Jesus fucking Christ. All right, that's all the time we have with the Damn Good on Wilds. I know, I've just been waiting for years to see Riot and CGA, and I bet all the viewers at home just can't wait to see the band in action. In other news, the Regent Ray's vehicular procession has disbanded in favor of teleportation circles due to high winds, strong currents, and seismic activity en route to the Phantom Isles. Ray is the first regent to teleport through her coronation ceremonies in over 50 years, but the weather phenomena through the Fifth Collide has been too destructive, and safety for her and her staff comes first. That's all, folks. Thanks for tuning in to Afternoon Aptitizers with Aptitutors with Shulda Paz. I'm Shulda Paz.
my God.
She does not say anything to you. She stands up, snaps her fingers, a bunch of PAs come and bring her cigarettes and coffee, and she just walks away.
That's right. And one PA just like ushers you out and is like, go.
That's fucking sick.
Oh my stars, Ms. Riot. That was so thrilling. I was on television. I can't. Do you think Ma and Pa saw it?
Possibly, yeah. Honestly, I think that worked out great.
I don't remember a single second of that.
You fucking ruled, man.
Wow. Riding high on that absolutely memorable interview, the same hassled-looking PA as before ushers you out of the Blossom, thanking you for your time, and you make your way back out onto the boardwalk. But as you pass under the flowery canopy, a man awaits you in the shadows, twirling his handlebar mustache pensively. Sleeves rolled all the way up to his pits, shirt buttons undone halfway, and cowboy hat tilted low, he steps out from under the shade, cracking the knuckles on each hand in succession as he does. You note his knuckle tattoos as he does. They spell ye on the right hand and ha on the left.
I didn't know yeehaw was sexy.
He is. I mean, you've all seen the illustration.
Yeah.
Stop it.
It's those forearms for me, yeah.
He is hot.
Yeah.
Like, he is hot.
Yeah. In the illustration, yeah. He's got too many buttons done up.
Mm-hmm. I know, but that was Risco Tech. They have a two-button rule. Don't challenge me on lore. I've got lore for days. So he approaches you. He actually seems, like, uncharacteristically ensombered.
Hey, y'all got a minute?
Yeehaw McGraw.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. What's up, man?
Oh, geez. Okay. All right, listen. He kind of, like, pulls you into a little, like, secluded alley. Not so far away that, like, it doesn't seem sketchy. He's just, like, obviously trying to have a private conversation with you. All right. First, I meet you all at Risco Tech, and then it becomes the scene of the little dog statue heist. And then you're talking away with Edict and Viridesia, and lo and behold, there's a hostage situation there. And now I run into you in Paragarden. Now listen, Edict is trouble, and I know that, but everywhere you go, you're chatting him up and you're bringing some kind of trouble too. So I gotta know, what the hell are you filling his head with?
I think you've got us all wrong. We're not really connected with Edict at all, and if anything, he's trying to put things in our head.
Can I roll an insight on Yeehaw to see, like, just get a sense of his motivation here, like, whether he's, like, legit worried about Edict or...
Yeah, roll away.
19.
Ooh.
Yeah, with a 19, you haven't seen him like this before. In fact, the only time that would come close would be that little glimpse of them interacting in the back of the hostage scene that you witnessed over Pip. A sincerity, an affection, a worry. He really does worry the way that he appears to be.
Well, it seems like y'all are involved with him in some way, because every time I see you, you're talking to him, and he's... It's just been getting real strange lately with him, and I don't know who else to turn to, because the only person that he ever talks about anymore is you, and points to Celestine.
Me? He's talking about me all the time.
All the time.
All right, Mr. McGraw. Well, here's what I can say. I think you are right to be worried about Uncle Edict. I think he is got himself all twisted up around... thinking he's doing something good for the world and for the people in it. I think he thinks he's bringing people closer to the Arcana. But all he's doing is supplying drugs to young androids. I think he's very confused, and I think he could use the help of a friend right now.
Yeah. Well, I would love to be that friend to him, but he's asking a lot of me. A lot. And I don't just mean help with his... batshit crazy plans, which I don't even want to pretend to understand, but he wants me to hear the voices of the Arcana with him. I just don't know what he's on about. I miss the old Edict, and again, I didn't know who else to turn to, but listen, Edict mentioned part of your conversation from the party last night, and he said that you're unregistered.
Oh, he just went and shared that information, did he?
We're very close. Listen, anything Edict knows, I know, and vice versa, except for maybe this. But I heard that about you, and, well, I know someone who you might be able to talk to about that in the Good on Wilds. but I got a favor to ask.
I'm sure you do. And what is it?
I would be very surprised if, well, the next time we run into each other, that Edict's not going to talk to you. And I just, when that happens, or even if you can make it happen sooner, could you just start telling Edict that maybe, like, there's Arcana speaking to you and that he should, you know, back off a little bit? I'm getting real worried about what he's getting involved with, and I feel like the only way to reach him is through the Arcana. Do you understand? And he knows that I don't give a shit about the Arcana in the same way that he does. So if I'm like, oh yeah, the sun told me that, you know, you should fucking quit your bullshit about all this rat stuff, he's just not going to believe me. But he really seems to care about what you got to say. And I would really appreciate it if you could, you know, just, if you could just tell him to ease up on everything, because I think he's going to get himself in trouble.
Celestine thinks for a second and then nods. Well, after the conversation we had last night, well, let's just say some harsh words were exchanged, and I'm not sure he'd be as keen to talk to me in the future as you might think. But what you're asking is, frankly, not far off what I was trying to do anyway. So I see no harm in telling Edict that the Arcana wish him to stop whatever fool-ass idea he's on about.
Yeah, and like, maybe you can drop in some like, oh, the Arcana told me that Yeehaw is your destiny, and you know, the lovers told me the most important thing is love.
Well, now we're getting into some morally dubious territory, and I mean, when we're talking about, you know, the fate of the world, I'm okay with stretching the truth a little, but this feels a little personal, and I'm not sure I want to get that in between y'all's business.
Yeah, you want to talk about the fate of the world? He just got rat shooting out all over the fucking Fifth Collide, and now there's a ton of people who are fucking talking about the Arcana left, right, and center, even in the Good on Wilds. You think that's not the fate of the world? That Good on Wilds has historically not cared about the Arcana shit until recently. There's some shit going on, okay?
Mr. McGraw, me and my friend share your concern about this rat business and what Edict thinks it's doing. I think he's wrong, and I think he's troubled, and I will tell you that I will try to convince him to stop, but should it come to it, we may need to make him stop. Do you understand?
I don't like what you're getting at. I really don't.
I don't like it either.
Well, if you're gonna do something crazy, could you let me know?
Celestine holds out his hand for a handshake.
Yeehaw grips his cowboy hat in one hand and with the other hand gives you a very strong shake.
All right then.
All right.
Now, you said you had a name for me.
Yeah. So, I have a lot of power in the Good on Wilds, and I know a lot of people. And in fact, the McGraw name stretches quite far in the Good on Wilds, as you can imagine, if you been there. I know you're from there.
Celestine covers up the star buckle that used to belong to a different McGraw.
Just like on. With the cowboy hat.
That's Hacksaw, right?
Yeah, that's right.
Hacksaw. Yeah. There's a woman by the name of Steeljaw McGraw. She is often, well, pretty much entirely off the grid. She does a lot of things. She has helped source components for me, let's say, and you know, has beefed up the occasional weapon for me here and there when I can find her, let me be clear, because I don't know where she is. It's very hard to track her. But one of the things that she does is, well, she protects other people who are also off the grid, including off the grid makers.
And so this Steeljaw McGraw might be able to point me in the direction of my potential maker.
Yeah. Steeljaw's your lady for sure. If someone went through, you know, off-the-grid means to make an android, she's going to know about it, and she's going to help you.
And she will help me just what, out of the goodness of her heart, or is there something I can take from you to recommend me to her?
Steeljaw is a fair lady, all right? She wants to help people who are off the grid. Honestly, if you can find her, you don't even need my name. You tell her her story, she's going to want to help you. As long as you're genuine about it.
All right.
Her perception is through the roof.
Right. Well, it seems like we have an agreement then.
All right.
I wish you the best of luck with your friend Edict.
Yeah, I wish you the best of luck finding your maker. That's some hard shit.
You don't know the half of it.
Parting ways from that tense but somewhat illuminating exchange with Yeehaw McGraw, your day's PR tasks have been complete, and you head back to familiar ground. The path home is familiar, and I mean, at this point, you could probably find your way back to Sister Mary Viables blindfolded and ass-deep in sleezers. Despite this, your journey takes longer than it should. As you travel back to the spray zone, your interview begins to air over the waterfall, and you're stopped no less than 3 times as people recognize you, triggering small frenzies of photographs and autographs. And as you finally shake off your admirers and settle into the hermit room, there is a feeling of being at a threshold. Things are changing, progressing, escalating. In the coming days, the 3 of you, our stealthy and discreet found family of criminals, the 3 of you will present yourselves to a panel of judges, to an auditorium full of cheering fans, and to the entirety of the 5th Collide.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. Hello Fresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. Hello Fresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.